All right, and welcome to another edition of our very special one-to-one conversations here on Women's Soccer Zone. JJ Duke here with you, giving Kieran the evening off, if you will. But yeah, we've had a few of these conversations over the past couple of months. Like to mix it up a little bit. Definitely like to learn about our guests as we bring them on. And this episode is a very, very special one. We're joined by someone who has pretty much spent the entirety of her playing career in and around Portland. She grew up basically kicking the ball in the shadows of then PGE Park, playing her high school ball not too far away from there. Then, of course, played for the legendary University of Portland program. Made a slight, and when I mean slight, I mean a very slight detour out east to play with Sky Blue. But she's back in Portland right now playing for the NWSL Portland Thorns side. It's none other than defender Kendall Johnson. Kendall, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on, JJ.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that I am curious about before we get into it, I was looking through the history of that, well, now Providence Park, but it's gone by many names. And I know with locals and their home facility, they always like to refer to it as the original. What do you actually refer that facility to?
I am used to now calling it PGE Park. That's why I grew up calling it, what did I call it? I think I've just kind of slowly transitioned each time. It was Geldwin, PGE. Now just with the Thorns, I hear Providence all the time. So now that's what's on our, when we have training, it says training at Providence Park. So I'm used to calling it Providence Park.
Yeah, it works for me. But yeah, no, I always hear those kind of legends about how people always refer it just to wherever they first heard it when they were growing up. But yeah, so let's get right into it. You, as I mentioned, started your professional career out east, played a couple of seasons for Sky Blue. Then pretty much, would you say that it was the dream move for you to go back home to play in front of your friends, your family, back in 2015? If it was that case, how did that really change kind of your perception of the professional game?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Portland, going to University of Portland, that was always a dream of mine. Just the culture at University of Portland is really special. And then when I saw they were having a Portland team in the NWSL, I wanted to go there, but I'm very, very thankful that I got out to experience something different. And I really enjoyed my time on the East Coast, but coming back to Portland, I mean, there's really no place like it. Best, I would say, women's soccer venue, if not women's sports venue in the world. And to be from that place is really, really special.
Absolutely. And that was after a couple of years with Sky Blue, very successful seasons. Then you play with Portland in 2015, had a strong campaign. Then you go over to Australia. And I believe that was, what, your second season, the 2015-16 season down under?
Yep, that was my second one.
So this is where the story kind of picks up. Because, as always, we see in professional and amateur sports, injuries do happen. You picked up a head injury. And this is kind of where, when we were talking before the show and emails about setting this up, this is really where you're passionate about. Tell us a little bit about what exactly happened.
Yeah, so when I was playing for Western Sydney, just in our very first game, I got tackled from behind and hit my head on the ground. And at the time, I felt disoriented, but being an athlete, I'm always someone who's just going to push through the pain. It wasn't anything terribly off. And then I ended up playing a couple more games. And it wasn't until two games after that, right when the whistle blew, I just felt really slowed down and just not myself whatsoever. I was really emotional. So it was the first time I ever actually subbed myself out of the game. And I ended up going to the hospital and was told that I had a minor concussion and just to rest for a week and that then I should be good to go back on the field. But it ended up taking a lot longer than I expected. At the beginning, I would get headaches every single day. Nights were the worst. I'd get just a ton of pressure in my head. Riding in cars, I'd get nauseous. I could be on my computer for more than 10 minutes. So, yeah, it ended up when I was there, I tried to come back too soon again because we had a really important game, and obviously I'm a competitor, and that ended up setting me back even more. So then I decided to come back to Portland. We had about a month before this preseason was started, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get myself back and healthy in a good place. So I came back to Portland to get treatment. And then, do you want me to just keep going?
Yeah, well, the thing that I'm curious about is when you originally got injured, what was your mindset at that point? Because you said that was really kind of the first time you've had, you experienced any of these symptoms. What was your mindset like at that time? Did you think what the doctor said, sure, you're going to be back in a week, everything is going to be fine and dandy? Or was there any point that you felt, well, this might be something just a little more serious?
No, to be honest, like when the doctor told me that, I was like, all right, a week, that seems like too much. I'm going to be fine. And then a week would pass and then I didn't make any progress. And I was like, okay, 2 weeks. And just each time I like sincerely thought that I was going to be getting better until probably once I, 6 weeks later and I wasn't getting better, then I came back to Portland and I realized, okay, like this is something I actually need to make sure that I'm not just resting. I need to make sure I'm really getting proper treatment. And so when I got back to Portland, I really thought that, okay, now we have 6 weeks left to preseason. Like, no doubt I'm going to be ready and in shape and like gearing to go come season.
A lot of what you've written about, and we're going to get into the piece on your website, aeroliving.com. When you originally announced this back in the middle of, or maybe early 2016, you said at times there felt like, well, there's going to be good days in this where you were going to have steps forward, progressing forward. And then very quickly, whenever one step was forward, I think you said it, two gallops back. How frustrating was it at that time knowing that, okay, you know, you said to yourself, preseason is 6 weeks away, 5 weeks away, 4 weeks away. Was there ever massive urgency for you to get back?
Yeah, I mean, I just have always been someone who's prided myself on working hard. And if, for instance, back when I was younger, I didn't make a regional team. And I remember the coach told me that I wasn't fit enough. My endurance wasn't good. So I came home and there's a loop right below my house that was like 3.5 miles. And I remember running it being like, he tells me I'm not fit, I'm going to run around this twice. And so always, if someone tells me that I need to work on something, like I'm going to do whatever I can to get better. And with this concussion, I could not rely on that because I would show up. So I guess my first day of treatment back at Portland, which all the people who took care of me in Portland were wonderful. I did some like eye exercises, neck exercises, and then at the end I had to do a fitness workout, and they told me I was doing a 10-minute bike ride at 150 beats per minute heart rate. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's like the easiest thing ever. But they explained to me that just do this, and then if you don't get symptoms later in the day, then we'll ramp it up the next day. So I did it, and then that evening I got symptoms, and basically for the next week I tried passing this 10-minute progression. I couldn't do it, and then this ended up happening. Probably I'd pass it, and then I just kept being like, okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm back by preseason for sure, and I preseason passed. I made the slowest progress and got super upset again because I wasn't where I wanted to be. And it got to about probably like 20 or 30 times of setting these goals and not getting there that I realized that if I keep basing my happiness off of whether or not I achieve these goals, then I'm just never going to be happy. So I got to find a different solution.
Yeah, and that's very interesting that you brought up that point, because when you go onto your website, I mean, pretty much the main focal point of how you live your life is you want to find, not maybe so much of the end result, but you want to have that fulfilling feeling that whatever you're doing, you want to be happy. Not so much to say like, well, you could have all these talented athletes or, you know, musicians or business people who reach the pinnacle, but at the end of the day, they might not feel, fulfilled. Why is it so important for you in whatever that you do that you want to feel fulfilled in that journey?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up, kind of what I was saying, I've just always been a really big dreamer, was going to do whatever it takes, had dreams of making the national team, winning a World Cup, gold medal, all those things, and I've just been pretty relentless in my approach, super structured, and I was going to do whatever it took to make it happen. That's just my mindset. But when I experienced this concussion, it was the first time that I really, like, all the past strategies that I was trying of working harder and just believing so deeply, like, it just wasn't working for me. So I had to really kind of take a step back and realize that, like, the more I tried, I felt like the further steps I was taking back, and it wasn't until I fully actually let go. There was a day where throughout my entire process, about 7 or 8 months in, I was always going to get through this. I knew in my mind, no matter what, like, there was no way I was going to be feeling this way the rest of my life, but this one day, I really thought about just how my being Kendall more is way more important than being a soccer player, and once I really, like, kind of was able to process my identity, that's when actually things started happening for me and I was getting better and actually improved the most.
And it's interesting you brought up that point, because I've talked to a few different athletes across various sports and also have read stories about athletes. And one in particular that your story kind of assimilates to is actually in women's hockey, Amanda Kessel, former, and still current U.S. national team player, played in the Sochi Olympics, gets a knock, plays through the tournament, and then pretty much was sitting in a dark room for nearly, I think, 18 months before she got back onto the ice, and eventually things started to click. And you talk about almost letting go of the game and then things all of a sudden just progress. If you, not to say if there's ever a time you want to do this over again, because that's naturally a horrible thing to say, but if you ever had an opportunity to look back at it or maybe learn something or know something before the process happened, would it have been a lot easier for you maybe to let go and then all of a sudden things just work out and you get back to hit the baseline?
I mean, that's really hard to say. I'm a believer that just everything happens for a reason, and I know, like, my drive and hard work for sure has benefited me, and it's gotten me to where I am, but this concussion, I feel like, just added another layer and made me realize just the importance of knowing why I'm doing what I'm doing. And throughout my concussion, I had to really, it was, like, some of the hardest times in my life, and to get through that, I needed to have a really strong purpose. And now, like, I've of the belief that I still have really big dreams and want to go after them, but just making sure that I'm not so stuck in a tunnel vision and enjoying the entire process. Because I hear about so many athletes and, like, just people who've appeared to have made it big time. They've won gold medals, been to the Olympics, but they weren't happy in the process. And in my mind, if you're not happy, I mean, what's really the point?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's always, you want to, when you, a player or whatever profession that they have, they look back at it on the end of the day, you want to feel happy about what you've accomplished. And it's all very interesting because, in the sense, the women's soccer community, especially in the players group, is so small, and you always hear about injuries, whether it be the concussion or the ACL or something along those lines. Now that you've been somebody who's gone through this experience and has come out to continue to do what you're doing on a daily basis, do you almost feel like, now you can be that kind of aid, if you will, someone that a player can talk to if they get a concussion? And if so, what are things that you're telling those people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there's one thing I learned through all this is just with injuries, when you don't have your health, it really just changes your perspective. I mean, I still love soccer, and I think sports are absolutely incredible, but it just really put everything into perspective for me. And when the worst thing I believe about being injured is feeling alone and hopeless. And I for sure have kind of made a point to, whenever my teammates are struggling with an injury, just going through a hard time, just to kind of be there for them and tell them that they aren't alone. And I think that's one thing, like, I've seen quite, I was actually kind of counting the amount of specialists and people I saw, it was like 13, I'm probably missing some, but that there are a lot of resources out there that people don't know about. But at the end of the day, the people who want them and want to listen are gonna listen to them. And the what I can do, it, like when I, for instance, I saw someone in, flew across the country to Ontario, Canada, and saw this neck specialist who just absolutely like changed my life, and I got so pumped about it, wanted to come back and tell everyone. And was, it was like he was saying that a lot of times when you have neck tension, that can lead to depression and anxiety and can cause gut issues. And I like oh my gosh, my friend has this, my friend has that, I need to go and help them. But really at the end of the day, I just want to be there for people. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'm happy to share my knowledge. But just really offering the support is what I think is really important.
Well, it's brilliant insight. And I think that kind of transitions nicely into your website that you've kind of built up over the last couple of years. And not only does it give insight into, you know, as you say, the injury prevention and telling your story, but it also is a great resource for women out there who are trying to achieve what they want to achieve in the game. So tell us a little bit about Arrow Living and why did you start it up?
Yeah, so arrowliving.com, I created that a few years ago. I just really enjoy writing, and I started it off just kind of, it was pretty broad, and I remember looking back at it during my concussion. It was based off of the quote that I really like. I'm a big Blazer fan, and at the time, Wesley Matthews was on the team, and he was going through some injury, and my brother showed me his Instagram account, and this quote was there. It said, "An arrow can only be shot by pulling it backwards. In life, when you're faced with difficulties, just focus and keep aiming. It's about to launch you into something great." So that's just kind of been my motto for a while, and before my concussion. And then when that happened, I remember going and looking at my blog's homepage, and I had written that these stories and articles are to empower people to overcome the seemingly impossible. And I looked at it thinking, oh my gosh, I literally just wrote out my like fate, and I have to kind of start show that that's really what I believe. But yeah, I created it. Now it's targeted towards female athletes to empower them to play and live in the most authentic way possible. And just going through, I guess my whole life, I've been super driven and wanted to know, I'm just really into finding answers, and I would look at the top athletes wanting to know the secret to what made them the best. And now that I'm at the professional ranks, I kind of realized that there's definitely a lot of common beliefs and mindsets amongst athletes, but every single one is super unique, and it's really about just finding what works for you. So I recently created the Air Living Female Athlete podcast, in which I interview a lot of my teammates and then other female athletes, just to kind of show that who they are, and not kind of to highlight like the person behind the player, and to hopefully show younger female athletes, or even just anyone, that when you're your truest self, that's actually when you're going to be able to play your best on the field or whatever sport you play.
For sure. And when you look at the website, the one thing that's very interesting, you talk about learning the person behind the player. Well, when you go onto this website, you definitely learn about your personality as well. And the thing that I found pretty funny is when you go onto your website, the About Me page, and it says, "What is Arrow Living?" This quote that begins, "Do you know what percentage of people play sports professionally? How many become millionaires? Start their own company? Do you really think you're cut out for that? And let's not forget, you're a girl. Come on, be realistic. You'll get eaten alive. You should get a real job, wifey up, settle down." And then you respond by saying, "If these questions and banter make you want to squirt pickle juice all up in these haters' eyes, then you're in the right place." And I think that that's perfectly written because you talk about trying to find, a fulfillment in life and in whatever you do and have this positive outlook on things, but that at the same time you have to keep it pretty real at the end of the day. Why do you think it's important to really maintain your voice and your personality within not only your entries, but as well in your podcasts?
I just believe that when you are being your truest self, that that is when you are able to give the most to the world. You're going to show up and you're going to just be your best. Like, it's not just about, I think it definitely helps you play well on the field, but just having that, being yourself equates to being confident. And so when you find your voice, and that's really when I believe you start really like fulfilling your full potential.
For sure. I'll definitely check out Kendall's website at arrowliving.com and kind of turn our attention now to the current state of things. Now you're back with the Thorns, getting some action as the season goes on, and you talk that you've brought on a few of your teammates, whether it be as podcast guests or having them come on as and to writing entries. What is it about this Portland team that's going to be special this year that's going to try and uplift them to reach places that they haven't in a couple of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we have a very talented roster. And coming off of last year, we didn't change it up too much, so it's really nice just to have that general base. And I think we're only, I mean, it's this still pretty early on this season. I feel like we're starting to connect, so we're kind of just building off of last year. And I don't know, I think we're looking pretty good. We haven't peaked yet. I think we keep kind of improving, which is really exciting. And hopefully, when the time is right, we'll be able to finish it off this year.
You've worked under and played under two different head coaches with the Thorns, one being Paul Riley and the other being Mark Parsons. With Mark, what has made him stand out with this organization? Because, of course, team made the postseason last year, was a couple seconds away from getting to the championship match. He's been to the postseason nearly every year that he's been a head coach in this league. What have you taken away from learning under him and playing, with this group that he's assembled?
Yeah, I just really value the fact that he's really into cultivating a team that's all bought in with each other. We have a tactical system that we all are really working on implementing, and I feel like you can just tell he really cares about this program and kind of getting results. So I really appreciate just his attention to detail. We meet before every training session. We watch film, and just you can tell he's super dedicated to making our program successful.
You talk about learning about the personalities of different players and your teammates within your website. If we had an opportunity to learn maybe something about one of your teammates that we wouldn't really expect to find out, what would that be and why?
Is this like one that something that hasn't been said on my podcast?
I mean, you could fill us in on something. You could let us know about something that may be coming up, a little bit of a tease right there, perhaps, or maybe something that hasn't been thought about at all going on your site.
Yeah, I just actually interviewed Christine Sinclair. I'm pretty excited about it because I feel like we talk about this, how she's a private person, but she's pretty out there, pretty weird and crazy. And I think you kind of get an insight on that. She's pretty funny too. So I gotta think of something that I could
Well, it's
say.
interesting you bring up the part about weird. Now, I've seen your Twitter posts. You always talk about keeping Portland weird. So tell us, as a native Portland citizen, why is Portland so weird?
I just find it so weird.
Or why is it unique for that matter?
I just think it's so embracing of every single person. I mean, doesn't matter what color hair you have, what color skin you have, what profession is. If you walk down the street, you're going to see a wild bunch of people, but everyone's pretty embracing of one another. And I think that's a really special thing about this city. And I haven't really, I would say that's the most inclusive city I've been a part of. And I would venture to say that that's, I believe, one of the reasons why the Thorns program is doing so well and getting such a great fan base, is because they're so embracing of just different things and kind of creating equality.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about the locals embracing your team, but let's face it, when the team started back in 2013, I mean, they were just absolutely smashing records left, right, and center in terms of attendance. It almost didn't seem like you needed to sell anything to the folks because they were going to come no matter what. Why is Portland a city that not only gravitates towards soccer in general, because obviously you have the Timbers, they've been around in one form or another for quite a long time now, but why women's soccer that makes you guys stand out as opposed to any other city?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that, like I said, was just the fact that Portland's so embracing and really about equality. I also think, I mean, University of Portland having Clive Charles, who is such a incredible human and created such a great culture there, I think that really did help grow the game for women's soccer in Portland.
For sure, and you're a former Portland Pilot product as well. And, you know, is it maybe perhaps that, you know, that UP standard has carried over now into the professional game, both the identity on the field as well as off the field?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's a factor. And obviously also having partnered with the Timbers, I think that's really been huge for us as well. And having an organization that really does put time and effort into the women's side has been really nice. I'm, like, very, very fortunate to be a part of the organization.
Now, to kind of wrap things up here, Kendall, with you, because I know, obviously, you know, the time of recording, you guys got a big match coming up on the weekend. What should we expect from you as well as the team going forward for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think we're just going to, I mean, I really do believe that we've kept progressing, and I think the more games we play, we're just going to get more comfortable with each other. We're still obviously always have things to work on, but I believe just we're really getting to know each other off the field and on the field and each other's tendencies, and just the more we practice, I think we're going to be able to kind of play that possessive style that we like to play.
Absolutely. Well, Kendall, thank you very much for taking a few minutes of your time to chat with us. This has definitely been something enlightening and insightful, and hopefully we see more good things coming out, not only from you, but also your site, Arrow Living.
Awesome. Yeah, and if anyone has any questions or just wants to reach out about concussions or anything of that sort, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can contact me on my website, arrowliving.com. or just through my social medias.
Well, it's always good to know that there's somebody out there to talk to. So thank you guys for tuning in to this special 1-to-1 episode here on Women's Soccer Zone. Until next time, goodbye for now.